From Wondery, I'm Robbie Daymond, and this is Who's Amazing Life. You've heard of people who've changed the course of history, but before they made their mark on the world, they were people like you and me, still figuring out what they wanted to do with their lives. On this episode, you will be that person everyone knows. You might be a musician, or an athlete, a scientist, or a painter. You may know what the person accomplished later in life, but now you can experience everything they faced along the way. From challenges and heartbreak, to triumphs and excitement. All the moments that built this person into someone who would change the world. There will be clues to who you are, so pay attention. But only at the end will you find out who you are. So sit back and imagine your amazing life as the songwriter.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Imagine. You're shoving your way through a crowd of kids. School's out. You brush your bowl-cut hair out of your eyes and try to push towards the door. But the other kids keep jostling past you like you're not even there. You take a deep breath of New York City air and watch the other six-year-olds hug their waiting nannies and drivers, who pile them into gleaming BMWs and Porsches. Your school's a magnet school. That means it's for gifted kids. But as far as you can tell, that means gifted financially, which you are definitely not. That's why your ride home is a big old yellow school bus. And it's going to take you all the way back up past 200th Street, where you live, 45 long minutes away. You slump down in the first seat and wipe the grime off the window, so you can see the luxury cars and happy faces heading home. Hey man, don't let school get you down. That's your driver, the school bus driver, Billy Baker Jr. He's a big, tall man with a bright smile and a big, loud laugh. Billy leans over and waves his hand in front of your face. You crack a smile. You can't stay grumpy when Billy's around. I got a new one for you. When this song hits your radio, you'll be grooving to the floor. And when they try to turn it up, you say no, turn it up some more. You say no, turn it up some more. You start bouncing up and down in your seat to the beat as Billy flashes you a grin in the rearview mirror. Say hip hop, just won't stop. I say hip hop, just won't quit. And when the beat you hear goes in your ear, you just want more of it. You are amazed at the way the words dance, the way they fit together right in sync with something deep in your chest. You love to sing, usually Disney tunes. But this? You've never heard anything like this. And when Billy comes back to the chorus, you dive right in word for word. Say hip hop, just won't stop. Say hip hop, just won't quit. And when the beat you hear goes in your ear, you just want more of it. Yeah! When you get off the bus, your neighborhood is alive with the sounds and smells of Puerto Rico. Salsa music plays on the radio in a convenience store called a bodega. A man selling shaved ice desserts called piragua rings his bell and sings out to the children. An old lady hums a lullaby to a baby. In your neighborhood, there is music everywhere. But you've got a new favorite kind. Hip-hop. Over the next few years, your big sister keeps you supplied with mixtapes of all the hip-hop greats. Black Sheep, Fat Boys, Naughty by Nature. You listen to these mixtapes as you walk down the hall at school. Shoulders hunched, your head hung low. You're getting cold stares from the other kids, but inside your head, it's hip-hop. Music makes you feel powerful. Music makes you feel smart. Music makes you feel amazing. But just hearing it isn't enough. You want to make music. You want to get up the guts to perform it. Someday you could even be a performer that inspires the world. But thinking about performing in front of your school? Now that's terrifying. Most kids in your gifted school find you annoying. They think your voice is loud and squawky, and that you're always being overly dramatic. And the few friends you do have are busy studying to become lawyers, doctors, and engineers. So, at 13, you're used to being lonely. Rappers and musicians have taken the place of friends. The mixtapes your sister gives you have become your homework. In an empty hallway after school, you and your buddy Arthur are rapping to the latest song by Weird Al Yankovic, a ridiculous Hawaiian shirt-wearing weirdo with frizzy hair. The song is a combination of a band called the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Flintstones. The two of you get more and more amped as you rap faster and faster. You and Arthur trade verses back and forth. Your voices get louder and louder until you turn and see something horrible coming your way. Actually, someone horrible. His name's Felipe, and he's a bully. He's got his fiery eyes locked on you. He's twice your size and coming at you fast. No, run! But it's too late. You feel your feet leave the ground and watch as the hallway spins upside down, as Felipe stuffs you inside a garbage can.
Come on, let me out!
In the darkness, you bang against the lid.
Let me out, Felipe!
His laughter echoes in the trash can.
So, you like to rap, huh, nerd?
Come on, leave me alone!
Okay, if you like to rap so much, do Bucktown and I'll let you out.
You sigh into someone else's half-eaten banana. Bucktown? That's a deep cut from a seriously underground rap group. A smile starts creeping across your face.
Come on, I don't hear anything.
Smushed in with the garbage, you quietly start rapping the lyrics. Then you get louder and louder until you pop out of the can. The lid clangs on the ground and you continue rapping at the top of your lungs as Felipe slinks off down the hallway. You know what? You're done being the kid nobody sees. You want to be a star. And you want to shine.
Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry, I could not.
You sit in the way back of Dr. Herbert's 8th grade English class, scribbling furiously into a spiral notebook. You tap on your desk and mumble to yourself as you figure out the rhymes.
My rhyme's gonna kill, so you better write your will. Leave your stuff to me, I am the epitome.
Ahem. You look up. Dr. Herbert is staring straight at you. So's everyone else in the room. Dr. Herbert shakes his head.
You're always writing something, but it's never for English class.
He holds his palm out, face up.
Give me that.
Oh, he's in trouble now.
The class whispers and smirks. You reluctantly trudge to the front of the class. He's probably going to read it out loud. He'll make a fool out of you. After all, it's only a first draft. He reads the lyrics silently. You stare at your feet and wait. You can feel the other students smirking at you. After what seems like forever, Dr. Herbert looks up. There's a twinkle of mischief in his eye.
This is pretty good. You got any more?
You sheepishly nod.
Okay. You got the job.
A few hours later, you're standing next to Dr. Herbert in a dusty room full of props and old theater sets.
A ragtag group of theater nerds sizes you up as he introduces you. This is the newest member of our theater club. And he's going to write our annual musical for us. You freeze. Your eyes go wide. Write a musical? What have you gotten yourself into? You sit at a keyboard in your cramped bedroom. You excitedly scrawl out the last lines to the latest song from your musical. You laugh to yourself. This song you and your friends are recording today is insane. When your team gets here, they're going to freak out. But they're late. And 2 hours later, they are very late. That's when the phone rings and you're steamed. You pick it up. It's Chris, the director of the musical.
We're supposed to be working right now. Where is everybody?
Hey, Tom's mom is taking us to the beach. You want to come?
What? No! We have work to do. This is unacceptable.
What difference does it make? You never like anything we do anyway.
That's not true.
Yeah, right. You re-record everything we do yourself. Man, you suck at teamwork.
Oh, you slam the phone down. You clench your fists. Don't they know how important this is? You're going to be performing in front of the whole school. You grab a hold of the keyboard and flip it onto the floor. You trash your own room, filled with frustration. You sweep everything off your desk and knock your CDs and trophies off your bookshelf. You rip down your curtains and throw all your stupid notebooks into the air. You collapse to the floor, breathing heavily. You sit in the mess of your tantrum. This isn't you. You're acting like some angry bigwig Hollywood director. You shake your head and laugh. You look at the mess. You're gonna have to clean this up now, all by yourself. Maybe Chris is right. You do suck at teamwork. You need to learn to inspire your friends. Maybe then people will be as excited about your work as you are. You've got to learn to lead. You stand in the aisle of your high school theater auditorium. You're in front of a stage full of actors. Your actors.
Great job, everybody. Let's take it again from the top. 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's your senior year, and with several successful productions under your belt, you're tackling your absolute favorite, the perfect musical for you, West Side Story. It's the only musical ever about Puerto Rican kids in New York City, and the lyrics are so fast-paced, it almost feels like hip-hop. You love it. And you inspire everyone around you with that passion.
That's nice. And it was a lot tighter that time. Take 5, everybody.
You stop to talk to the actress playing Anita.
Tessa, you're doing fantastic for your first play.
Oh, really? Thanks.
The drama club doesn't have enough Latino kids to play all the Puerto Rican parts. So you convince as many of your classmates as you can to be a part of the musical. Kids from the band, from other grades, and from the school's Hispanic society. You're building the cast you want to see on stage. You're giving them a chance to shine, too. And that inspires them to share your passion. As you stand on stage, taking your bows at the premiere, you realize this is where you are meant to be. This is your career. You're going to be on Broadway. The only problem is that Broadway doesn't look like you, or your family, or your neighbors. If you want to be on Broadway, you're going to have to forge your own way. It's early morning in your neighborhood, and it's already over 100 degrees. You rub your eyes and squint up at the sun. Your whole body aches as you unlock the roll-up door of your bodega, the corner convenience store you run. Your old friend Benny beatboxes, and you break into a rap about this heat.
The day don't wait. I stayed up late. Now my butt feels the shape of this plastic milk crate.
The neighborhood is bustling with energy, just like always. The Piragua man rolls his cart along. Old ladies wait outside to get their groceries. Folks run by trying to catch the A train downtown. But you can't relax into the rhythms of the old neighborhood like you did when you were a kid. Your frustration builds, and suddenly you shout, "Stop! This isn't working!" And everyone on the street immediately freezes. Because you're not actually in your old neighborhood. You're far from it. In Connecticut. At college, where you're rehearsing a musical that you've written yourself. It's the story of how your neighborhood actually is. A musical where, finally, you don't have to play a gang member involved in some sort of crime. But right now, something's not working for you. We gotta cut this song. You scribble notes onto your sheet music. The page is already covered in new ideas. Some crossed out, some about to be. Maybe we don't need this character. Maybe I need to write a different opening to this scene. Maybe it's more about that other character. I'm going to work on it until it feels right. And that's exactly what you do. For over 2 years, you rewrite the musical over and over again. Because it's all yours. You can take this story in any direction you want. You can do anything. And that's the problem. Anything is a lot. Anything is hard to narrow down. The more you write, the harder it is to choose which way to go. 2 years later, you step outside the backstage door of a tiny regional theater. You've just finished another test run of your musical, and the cool night air feels nice. You watch the audience head for their cars, except for one guy. A guy about your age, with a big poof of curly hair. He's walking the other way, towards you. Without even introducing himself, this guy gets right to the point.
"I love your musical, but the first song is the third song, and here's what else it needs. Nina's college is too close to home. It shouldn't be Yale, it should be Stanford. Claudia is..."
As this guy rattles on, you feel yourself going flush with anger. Who does he think he is? How dare he tell you what you should do with your musical?
I mean, basically, you do that stuff, I think you've got a hit. Surefire.
But you realize he's actually right. You've been trying to find a way to shake things up, and here's someone who really wants to help. When his monologue is over, the guy smiles.
"Look, man, this is just what I think. No matter what, it's your story. Tell the story you want to tell."
And that really strikes a chord with you.
"Thanks, I didn't catch your name." "Oh, yeah, I'm Tommy."
From that moment on, Tommy becomes the cure to your chronic indecisiveness. He's clear-headed, he's blunt. Tommy becomes your director. And that lifts a big burden off your shoulders. It allows you to concentrate on the writing. All you want is to finally make this musical something your audience will love. But Tommy's dreaming even bigger.
"We need to take this to Broadway."
You are 23 years old, and you and Tommy are sitting in the shiny, swanky office of a successful theater producer. He saw a reading you put on in a basement of a bookshop in Midtown Manhattan, and now you're having your first real meeting with a Broadway power player. The producer cracks his knuckles and dives in.
"Now, I know in your version, Nina is coming home with a secret from her parents. She's lost her scholarship."
You hang on his every word because this guy is a big deal. And you are desperate to get your show on Broadway.
"What I'm bumping up against, fellas, is that this doesn't feel exciting enough."
You shift in your seat.
"How do you mean?" "I mean scholarships. Big deal. Now what if, all right, just what if, she has a huge fight with her parents, huh? What if they kick her out?"
You shrink into your chair. It's not how you want people to see your characters. That's not how you want people to see you. You and Tommy sit side by side on the A-train, on the way back to your parents' house. You both stare at an empty soda can rolling back and forth with the movement of the train. The producer's ideas keep buzzing around in your head. You feel uncertain and frazzled. Your dream of a life on Broadway seems so close and at the same time so far away. You really want to make this work, but not like this. Finally, Tommy says what you're thinking.
Hey, that guy doesn't get it. That's not the story you want to tell. That's not the show I want to direct. There are ways to make an exciting story without terrible things happening to people. We both want to be on Broadway. But we're going to do it our way.
6 years later, you're walking down a lush red carpet in a palatial mansion. Golden curtains line the walls, and ornate chandeliers hang from the vaulted ceilings above. A crowd circles around you, and you are the center of it all, poised and ready to go on stage at the White House. Seriously, the White House. That musical you made with Tommy? It's on Broadway now, and it's such a huge success that President Barack Obama has invited you to the White House to perform. The president requested a song from your Broadway hit, but you told him, no, you've got something even better. It's a song that's not just about your neighborhood, it's about America. You've only written half of it so far, but that half a song really speaks to you. And the only time you've ever performed this half a song was in your kitchen, for your wife. So it might be kind of a crazy choice for your White House debut. But you've learned to trust your gut. And you know this is the right song for right now. The stage manager waves you over to the wings, just behind the curtain.
Okay, you're up next. Break a leg.
You step onto the stage. The spotlight shines brightly against the dark stage. You adjust your black suit jacket. Your palms sweat as you grip the mic. You look up, and directly in front of you sit the president and first lady waiting. The room goes silent. History has its eyes on you.
I'm thrilled the White House called me tonight because I've actually been working on a song about Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton.
The crowd laughs at you. But you smile wide.
You laugh, but it's true. I think he shows us how words can make a difference.
And then you begin to rap. And the crowd is awestruck. You know your 16 bars cold, and you are filled with confidence. Alexander Hamilton was a hard-working immigrant, and just like you, he worked nonstop to find his place in the world. And like you, Hamilton was a writer who wrote his way to success and inspired a nation with his words. You put all this and more into a single hip-hop song, and you create something that brings the story of the old white guy on the $10 bill into our modern world. You take a bow, and President Obama is the first person to his feet. The crowd rises to give you a standing ovation. That half song becomes a musical called Hamilton. It premieres on Broadway in 2015, and your world is never the same. Hamilton quickly becomes the hottest ticket in town with sold-out shows. Audiences love how you've used your passion for hip-hop to make history seem fresh and exciting. Best of all, you've created a cast that represents everyone, a cast as diverse as America itself. And at the 2016 Tonys, Hamilton wins 11 awards. When Hurricane Maria devastates the island of Puerto Rico in 2017, you go to the aid of your people and raise over $40 million in aid. Even with all your success, you don't slow down. You showcase your songwriting skills in movies like Moana, Star Wars, and the upcoming live-action version of The Little Mermaid. You star in Mary Poppins Returns, and your first Broadway musical, In the Heights, gets made into a movie coming out this summer. You've been the one to tell your story, and now the world knows your name.
I realized the only way to have a career in this world that I loved was to write it.
You are Lin-Manuel Miranda. From Wondery, this is Whose Amazing Life? This episode contains reenactments and dramatized details. While we can't know exactly what was said, we use many sources when researching our stories, including biographies, documentaries, articles, and interviews. If you'd like to learn more about Lin-Manuel Miranda, we recommend the Hulu documentary, We Are Freestyle Love Supreme, and the HBO documentary, Siempre Luis, about Lin-Manuel's father. I'm your host, Robbie Damon. This episode was written by Dave Kane. Our senior producer is Benjamin Gray. Sound design is by 48 Windows. Additional audio assistance is by Sergio Enriquez. Produced by Andy Herman. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman, Stephanie Jens, and Marshall Louie for Wondery. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Whose Amazing Life ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids and Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.